don't understand. And Lord, as we don't understand it, we pray that, Father, that you may speak to our hearts and you will bring that comfort in. And Father, that where we can be able to take what you've given us, to where we can draw strength from it. And Lord, we just pray today for the family of Sister Betty's. Today, Lord, I do not know the name, do not know any of them. Don't know where they live or nothing. But Lord, you know where they live. You know the name. And Father, we pray today, Lord Jesus, that you would comfort our heart at this time. Father, because I know there's some, they're still grieving today because they cannot see him, they cannot talk to him. But Lord, I pray today that you will do something in the individual's lives that they know that it's a strong pulling to them, Father, to where, Lord, that you're taking your word and your strength and your comfort each one of them. And Father, we pray for Sister Betty. Lord, it's hard on her now. We don't know what she needs, but you do. I'm thankful for that. Lord, you know exactly what each family member needs. Father, you know what the family members that's close, was close to them, the immediate family. Father, I pray for them. I lift them up to you today. Lord God, that you can care for them. And we do not know the situation. We do not know what actually happened or what was going through his mind, Lord. But Father, we can have the comfort in knowing that, Lord, you are the God of second chances. And that, Lord, that you can minister to his soul as he was there thinking. And Father, as he was there thinking about what he was aiming to do, he also could come to you and ask for forgiveness for what he was about to do, Lord. Father, I do not know his health condition. You do. And Lord, we just pray today that you'll just comfort the need of this family. And Father, I pray, Lord, that if it's anything at all we can do here at the church for this dear family, Father, reveal it to us today. Reveal it to us this week. And Father, yes, Lord, if we need to go and if we need you, just go over and visit and just let them know that we were thinking about them. And Lord, we can tell them about your precious love. And we can tell them also the love that we have for them. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior and our Redeemer, we thank you for what you're going to do. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen and amen. All right. Turn, if you will, to Acts Chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Just for a little while this morning, we still going to be speaking about the church, what the duties of the church, and how we must treat the church, And not only that, in how we must treat God, because of the way that God treats us. And if I was going to put a title on this message, it would be the title, Why Am I a Member of the Local Church? Why am I a member of the local church? The local church is not the TV programs. It's not the radio stations. It's not the revivals that goes around. It's not the jubilees that goes around. But it's the local assembling of the people that gathers together each and every week. That's what I belong to. I belong to a local church. And what I need to do is I need to come and be fed from you. And vice versa. But in thinking about all of that, we see right here in Acts chapter 2, in verse 41. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. We see where, excuse me, I'm sorry, I was in chapter 4 there. Chapter 2 and verse 41. It says this: Then they that gladly receive his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto the church about 3,000. This is the first mention of the church, first mention of the local church. And you can see right here how many were saved during that great preaching service, great revival, or what you want to call it. But we see there that it wasn't just hundreds that were saved. It was thousands that was being saved. But not only that, we can also see in the Word of God where the Lord Jesus, he took the church and he took the individuals that got saved and he taught them some things that they must do. And it says there in verse chapter 3, and verse 1 says, Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. Peter and John went up to pray, to seek God's wisdom, to seek what God wanted them to do. And a certain man, lame, from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask aim of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an aim, and Peter fasting his eyes upon him which John said, Look on us. Look on us as an example. That's what he was saying. He said, they're telling the people there that were saved, look on us as the example of what God wants you to be. That's just like us here at Faith Baptist Church. We must set an example for the people that know us, the people that sees us, the people that come by and visits us. We must set an example. We must set the example before men and women, boys and girls, and allow the Lord Jesus Christ to see us. and speak to us in the way we need to speak. It says over in the 1 Corinthians, I think it is, chapter 13, I think, it says over talking about the Lord's Supper. Speaking about the Lord's Supper, it's better for the individual to examine their own lifestyle. It's better for them to examine their condition. It's better for them to examine their life if it's sin that's hidden in them. And the only one that knows that is the individual and God. I don't know anything about it. You don't know anything about it. But only the individual and God knows about the hidden sin. But we must set the example. How do we set the example? I believe the first thing that we need to do as a church is that we need to belong to a local church, a local assembling of ourselves together. We must assemble ourselves together where we can exalt other Christians that hadn't been Christians that long. That's the reason a whole lot of individuals today, I believe, that comes and they will come and they will come down to the altar, and yes, and they may get saved. But then the thing about it, here we are, we're sitting back, and the preacher's standing up here, and what we're saying within our own minds and our own thoughts, we say, I just wonder how long this is going to last. I just wonder how long this is going to last. Because of the life that they've been living? Hey, that's the reason they come to the altar. Because of the life that they was living. They wanted to change their lifestyle. I wanted to change my own lifestyle, but I couldn't do it, so I had to come to Jesus. And when I came to Jesus, then what happened? He changed my lifestyle. He changed my want to. He changed my get up and go. He changed everything about me. But I believe in the local church. I believe that we need to support the local church. And if we support, and if we're a member of a local church, and if that pastor up there, if he's not preaching God's word, we need to go to him and we need to ask him, what Bible is he preaching from? Why ain't he preaching some of the things that he'd heard, that they had heard years before? And if they come back and say, well, you know, the times have changed. We got to do what we can now to get the young people in church. We got to do what we can now to get the people in church today. Yeah, we do. We need to do that. But I think the way we do it is not go out here and give them a basketball, not go out here and give them a football, and not go out here and fix up a football field or a baseball field or something like that for them to be able to come down and just have sports and that's it. I remember a preacher saying that he went to a church and he tried out for the church because they was looking for a pastor. And this pastor, he's pastored two or three churches before. And when he got to that church, he went on and preached the message. And the message that he preached, they didn't like it. Because he preached it about hell. And he preached around the thought of it, basically around what I said last Sunday, that you cannot be saved and not go to church. You cannot be saved because it speaks in God's word, assembling ourselves together. The most quoted verse in the Bible. It is Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking ourselves together as such there is. We do not need to look at the word and what we've read and everything and look at it and say, sounds good. Yeah, sounds good. But if we don't put some feet to the words that we've just seen and we've just read, and if we don't put prayer behind it, nothing's going to get done. We're not going to go out here and visit at the lost. We're not going to go out here and visit somebody that's not in the church. We are supposed to be examples. We're supposed to be the ones that set the example before God and before the people. How can we set the example? In reading the right book. Reading the right book. I was over in the religious book center. The one over in the mall. I think it's Family Books. Family bookstore and everything. Where they sell just gospel stuff. Now it's more just stuff. Whole lot of ain't gospel anymore. And I was over there. And I was looking around and everything. And I had a young lady come up to me and she says, "You look like you may work here or something. I don't know. But could you find a King James Bible in here for me? The way I could purchase? Everything I see is just books." And I said, "Yeah." You know where I had to go? I had to go almost at the back of the store where a shelf was. And it had that many King James Bibles sitting there. Probably 8, 9, maybe 10. And I almost come and told her, I says, "You know, if it's one of these that you don't like, you just tell me where you live at and I'll bring you a Bible." I mean, I had more of God's word there at the house on that bookcase of mine than they had in the whole store. It was NIV. It was New King James. It was as this and that. It was the children's book. It was the student's book. It was the ladies' Bible. It was this. It was that. They had every other name on it. But the right name that they should have put on it, they should have put on the Bible for sinners. That's what this Bible is for. For sinners. For sinners that can go out here and sin and think it's okay. People today think it's okay. Okay to just go out here and sin. It's okay to go out here and do it openly and thinking that God don't know anything about it. Thinking that if God does find out about it, that God will forgive us. Oh yeah, He'll forgive us. But He's not going to forgive us just to be forgiven us. He's going to forgive us because we have prayed for Him to forgive us. Because we are ignorant. We are ignorant individuals. That when we get in here and read the word, we don't understand the word. We don't understand it to the point where we know what is right and what is wrong. That's the reason we need the Holy Ghost of God that will teach us what the Word of God says. And the Holy Spirit's not going to teach a lost, hell-bound sinner. The only thing the Holy Ghost is going to do to that hell-bound sinner is bring conviction to their heart that they must come to Jesus Christ and they must ask Jesus to save their unworthy soul. They must ask Jesus to change their life, because there's nothing that they can do. There's nothing they can do to change their life. It's nothing I could do to change my own life. I had to depend on God. I had to depend on God to change my life. But for the dependence, I had to show an example. I had to be the example to people that I come around each and every day. I remember the day after I got saved. The day after I got saved, I went into work, and my boss, supervisor, whatever you want to call him. But I walked into two of the front doors of the building.
And he said, "Don, what happened? What happened to you?" I said, "What do you mean, what happened to me?" He said, "Well, you left yesterday afternoon. And you ain't the same individual you was yesterday afternoon." I said, "I sure believe you said that." I said, "I got saved last night." He said, "You did?" I said, "I sure did." He said, "I've been praying for you for a long time." What happened? He set an example. He set an example to me. He set the example to me the way I could see something in his life. And I wanted what he had, but I didn't know how to go about getting it. But see, God did. I left work the night before. When I left work, I used to come out of where it used to be the parts place, and I turned left and go right back up the roadside drive a little ways to the stoplight. And then I'd come on back home. Never have, before or after that incident, that I ever took the route that I took that night. I went down to the next stoplight, right there at Mount Cross Road, and used to be the old Riverside Drive. And at that time of day, it's usually traffic backed up, and it's hard to get out. I didn't see no traffic, so I just pulled on out. It was two vehicles in front of me, and out come this man. This elderly man, he looked like probably maybe, that time I thought it was kind of old. It was probably in the 50s, 60s, but, you know, 50s and 60s ain't too old now. 70s don't look too bad. Even 80. But I was sitting at the stoplight behind them two automobiles. Then the light turned green, and they went on. Straight through the stoplights. Right through this green light. And I took a left to go down by McDonald's, where the McDonald's is at now. Down that street right there. When I turned down that street, That man had already come out the door, was walking down the sidewalk of the building. He stepped off the sidewalk and he walked to his over to his pickup, looked like about a 57, 56 Ford, black. He come over and he opened his door. And he was leaning on a hill like on the left-hand side of the building. And when he opened the door, he put his keys in his switch. And he was going to crank the vehicle. When he put the keys in his switch, he didn't turn the switch on. He slumped over the steering wheel. He slumped over, and I come to find out the next day that it was an elderly man that they thought had passed out at first in front of the convenience store, but he hadn't. He was dead on arrival. He was dead right when they showed up because they was trying to get a part. They'd done all the extra stuff. I mean, had fire trucks and everything over there. But when I heard about you next morning, when I heard about it, something touched me. Something touched my heart. Something touched me. You know who it was? That man, that individual, his life touched my heart that day. He touched my heart. Why? Because he was an example. He was an example of Jesus Christ. And he was showing his example to the people. And I went home that afternoon and I told Shelby, I said, Shelby, when I'm not going to eat, I don't need no supper right now. I need to go to Penny's. We went to Penny's where Penny's was at Blue Park at the time. We went up there. And I went in there and I told her, she said, what are you looking for? And I just kept a walking. I went over to where the dress clothes was. I said, I need some clothes. I need some dress clothes. She said, what do you need dress clothes for? I suppose I'm going to church Sunday. And I may go tomorrow night. But I'm going Sunday. I went to church that Sunday. The Holy Spirit of God used that missionary that day to touch my heart, to let me know where I was going wrong and where I was headed to. But it was going to be up to me. It wasn't going to be up to God. It was going to be up to me. If I went God's way or if I went the devil's way. It's going to be up to me. Because, see, God don't send nobody to hell. Because he didn't create hell for man or woman. The only thing he created hell for was for Lucifer and his angels. To where God threw them all out of heaven. And I came to church that Sunday morning. Touched my heart. I didn't know. I knew two people there. It was Sandy and Jackie. Two of our friends was there. Which Jackie, he'd been on me for 3 or 4 months about coming. He said, come on up there. You'll like your pastor up there. Because he's easy to understand.
See, God didn't want it to be easy for me to understand. God wanted me to the truth. God wanted me to hear spoken in a way that where it would touch me and touch my life. And not only touch my life, but touch my family's life and touch the other people that I come in contact with. That Monday afternoon, three individuals from that church come to my home at 7 o'clock. They drove up about 5 minutes past 7. And I was out there on the tractor behind the house. Where I had a garden and I was laying it by using my uncle's farm tractor, the Super A. And I saw him drive up. I didn't get off the vehicle. I didn't get off the tractor. Because I said, well, they'd be gone in a minute. They'd be gone in a minute. Let me tell you what. If God ever shows up on an individual's doorstep, he's just not going to leave in a minute. He's going to be with you the rest of that day, rest of that night. He's going to be with you rest of the time being around you and everything. He's going to be right there with you to remind you what the Holy Spirit of God has spoken to you. And I'm so thankful, and I believe, and I trust the Holy Spirit. That's the reason I preach on the Holy Spirit, because I know where the Holy Spirit is at. The Holy Spirit lives within my soul. He lives within my heart. He don't just live here in my mind, but he lives in my heart. My heart reveals what his word says. My heart reveals what this Bible says, and it reveals it to my mind. That I must take the word of God and I must hide it in my heart. Must hide it deep in my soul to where I will not and I cannot sin against him willfully. Now, if we do sin, especially willfully, we're going to have to really go to the woodshed with God. And I think it was last week somebody brought up the woodshed. Or this week or something. But having to go. And when they misbehave, the mother or the father would tell them, you see that tree out there? It's a limb. Bring it back. So I didn't know what all of that meant at first. But I come to find out, I learned quickly what that meant. That meant that I was going to get stung. That meant that I won't get stung by no bees. I can get stung by the switch. And if I went out there and if I picked that, and if I got the smallest little limb that there was on that tree, sometimes I'd get them and they wouldn't be no longer than that. And yes, I could just take them and break them off just like that. But if I showed back up at the house with that little limb, what I knew that limb was supposed to do.
my mother would say, "Bonnie, you know that's not the limb that I want. You know it's not the limb. Matter of fact, Bonnie, that's not no limb. That's just a little small twig, like a broom straw." Says, "Dad, Donnie, now what I want you to do, I want you to go out there. I don't want you to go to the other trees that you've been going to. I want you to go to the tree, that bush out there, which is called a crape myrtle. And you get a limb off of the crape myrtle there. And I don't want no short one. I don't want anyone one that long. I want a limb." "Did it hurt me?" "Oh yes, it hurt me terrible when they were doing it. But did it hurt me really for my lifetime? No, it helped. It helped me to know that if I'd done something wrong, that I was going to have to pay the price. Didn't make no difference what it was. Even the same thing with God. If I do something wrong, I'll have to pay the price that God puts in front of me." That's what I consider belonging to a local church. A local church that believes 100% in God's word. Believes in water baptism. Don't believe in sprinkling. Which I know the majority of the Baptists today, they do. They believe in sprinkling. They don't believe in immersion. Because see, Jesus, if we can't be immersed in God's word, if we can't go all the way in, then we hadn't accept God. Why? Bible plainly tells us. What did John the Baptist do? He baptized who? The Lord Jesus Christ. Did he go up to him? And Jesus was standing right here, and he went down there, and he just grabbed some water in the palm of his hand and come up and sprinkled it over his head. No. He went and he done it the right way, which represented the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the baptism means, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. And I thank God for it. I thank God that I didn't wait no 6 months. I didn't wait no year to get baptized. After I got saved, the first thing I went and told the pastor, I told him that I got saved on Monday night. The next Sunday when I was there, I told him. I says, "Now I understand that I must be baptized." He said, "Yeah." He said, "But now I need to explain something to you." He says, baptism does not save you. It does not save you. Being sprinkling does not save you. What it does, it shows obedience. Obedience to who? The Lord Jesus Christ. We must depend on the local church. You must depend on it, and I must depend on it. We must depend on the local church to help us when we're in need.
When are we in need? We're in need when something comes our way unexpectedly that we know nothing about. It's just like Sister Betty. She went through something this past week that was unexpected. Her nephews, her sisters, the rest of the family, they didn't expect this past week to end up the way it did. So that's when the church comes in. The church comes in to help the people that are hurting. And I'm going to ask you something. You can raise your hand, or if you want to, or you don't have to. But we need to come to the altar anyhow. But I want you to, if you know of somebody in your immediate family, or maybe somebody you're working with, that is hurting. Not hurting physically, that where they're in pain. I'm talking hurting emotionally. I'm talking about hurting. Would you lift your hands if you know anybody like that? I do. I hurt all the time. You know why I hurt? Because I know it's other people this hurts. It's hurting. Because they don't know which way to go. They don't know who to go to that they can trust not to go out here and spread everything around. They're hurting. The heart is hurting. They want help. They don't know where to run to. They don't know who to go to anymore. Why? Because there's too many churches out there today is not giving out the right help. It's not the proper emergency room for them. To where we're coming now. I give them the word of God. They will bandage their broken heart. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for today. Father, I'm so glad that, Lord, that you just didn't put some things in the Word of God that you want us to hear. But, Father, there's things in here that we need. We need for ourselves to where we can go and speak to people. Yes, Father, because people are hurting. It may be somebody here this morning that's hurting. Hurting with a job or whatever, emotions or whatever it may be. Lord, you know and they know. Father, I pray for them. I lift them all up to you today. I lift the families up to you. Father, my prayer is that the family that used to be in church, whoever it would, Father, that doesn't come anymore because they've had a disagreement with somebody, but they've never had a disagreement with you, God. My prayer is that you will lead the right one to them and speak to the heart in a way where they can understand it. Father, yes, they must be in a local church. If they want to go to heaven,
They need to come and assemble together with the people of God. Father, we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All right. Anybody want to come to the altar and pray? You come on, and if not, then we'll just...